I used to be a lot of fun. I used to drink, smoke, do drugs, all kind of fun shit. Now, if you invite me to a party, I am just going to complain about a lack of chairs. Why would you have all these people over and not have the appropriate number of seats? You are not ready for this shindig, bud.
Welcome to Something Crunchy, the Valley's number one comedy entertainment podcast. Biscuit is homies with Blake.
Blake is the older brother of Blair.
And Blair is married to Biscuit. Here are your hosts, Cullen Blake with Blair and Tyler Dressel.
All right. Welcome to Something Crunchy. I'm Cullen Blake. With me as always, Blair and Tyler Dressel. We have another crunchy guest joining us tonight. He's an actor, writer, and stand-up comedian who you know best for playing Squirrely Dan on Letterkenny, and he'll be back in the Valley at Rick Brunson's House of Comedy on March 28th through the 30th. Please welcome K. Trevor Wilson. Thank you for joining us, Trev. Excited to have you on. What's new with you, man?
Thanks for having me. Not too much. Looking forward to being back out on the road and heading back to Phoenix in a few days.
We are looking forward to having you in town Thursday, March 28th through Saturday the 30th. Tickets are available at ktrevorwilson.com. What do you like to do when you're on the road? Do you go out at all?
Not too much. You know, I'll try to pop into some sort of local spots, and sometimes I'll hit up a local comic book store. Whenever I'm in Phoenix, that's one of the few places that's got an In-N-Out burger, so I always save up my cheat day for some In-N-Out.
Love it.
Love Affair started with the Big Lebowski. And
Are you going to hang out with Maynard and the Tool guys this go around?
You know what? I'm one of the few Letterkenny guys that didn't meet Maynard. I wasn't at the Phoenix shows for Letterkenny Live, so I missed out on meeting Maynard. And I understand he's a big fan of the show, came to our live show in Phoenix. When he was in Toronto, he invited a bunch of the Letterkenny guys out to the Tool show, but I'd never met him, so I didn't get the invite. So I just sort of watched from afar. But I can't complain too much because I did get to have lunch at Ed Norton's house when we were in L.A. So
wow. Lunch with Ed Norton. That's pretty cool. And I know he's a big fan of the show, right?
Yeah. It was a really cool meeting Ed, and his wife, Sean, is awesome, and then his mother-in-law as well. And Ed brought his buddy Brad to the show, too.
The whole fam. I love it.
Brad Pitt.
Has there been anyone else that you were just really surprised to learn was a big fan of the show?
I remember when we did Atlanta, T-Pain was there. And we got to meet T-Pain, and that was his wife bought him tickets to Letterkenny Live for his birthday. That was his birthday present.
Wow, that was
really trippy.
That is so cool. Letterkenny season 12 just came out a couple months ago, the final season. Very few shows have brought me joy like Letterkenny has. I was sad to see it end, but 12 seasons is a great run. Have you been ready to move on, or is it something you feel you could have kept going for a while longer?
We had 2 years left on our contract option, so I really thought we were going to keep going for a while longer.
Yeah.
But Kiso made the decision to focus on Shorzy and other projects he wanted to work. I think he started getting paranoid about jumping the shark. But we were kind of all, we knew a year before everyone else did that the show was done, but it was, it came out of left field for us. We'd just done the Letterkenny Live tour, and sort of all of the, after the pandemic, it was something that kind of brought us all back together. And then the ending of the show was really quite a shock to all of us.
Well, is it time for the Squirrely Dan spinoff?
I'll be so good.
Yeah, I'm always open to putting the overalls back on again. But I haven't been asked to be a part of any of the spinoffs or anything in the future. So I really have no idea if and when I'll ever put those work boots back on again.
Oh, I think you'd be an excellent protagonist in a spinoff. Maybe he gets married and moves to the Dick Farm or something completely different, where he like moves into the big city, has to navigate through big city living, your classic fish out of water. Squirrely in the city.
I think we could do a road trip story with Dan and Alexander.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Squirrely in the City is a pretty funny title.
An excuse to work with my buddy Jeff McHenry.
Well, Squirrely Dan was one of the most endearing and likable characters on a TV series, and you continue to add depth to his character each season. How much of your own personality did you use in portraying Dan? I know Dan Petrinevich, who plays McMurray, was originally supposed to play that character.
Yeah, and that was something I didn't know until like almost the end of season one that that was revealed to me. But you know, I think I brought in. You look at how Squirrely Dan was written in season one to how he started to be written in subsequent seasons. You know, season one he was a bit more mischievous. You know, like there's definitely more of a seedy underbelly to Dan, and the longer I had the character, the sort of softer and sweeter the character became.
Yeah.
And I kind of just brought a real nice guy quality to Dan. And, you know, I mean, like, we're similar in the sense that, you know, we're both guys that pride ourselves on being good guys. We try to be nice and fair to everybody. And I think Dan is probably more of a social justice warrior than I am. But, you know, definitely we both stick by our friends and do our best to try to be better people.
You guys have your own slang, obviously. How long did it take for you to start hearing the slang that you made up out in the wild?
It was pretty quick once the show really kind of hit. I mean, in Canada, it started following me around more. And then as we crossed over into the States and other countries, it really started following me, which was, you know, kind of is much more nice to have people yell I appreciate that, because you know, before, when they just made me for my stand-up, people would just yell penis at me. Yeah, so in the long run I appreciate it, but yeah, I really knew that we were hitting our stride when I got recognized in Manhattan in the financial district by a guy in a business suit walking past me. He's just like, holy shit, you're Squirrely Dan. And just waved and said hi. But yeah, they're like, okay, so if Wall Street knows who we are, we're...
That's big time. Everybody knows you. Who on set made you laugh the most off camera?
Petrinevich is a hilarious guy. He's got some of the craziest stories I've ever heard. And Lisa Codrington, who played Gail on the series, whenever we had scenes together, that was a hard one for me to keep a straight face for. She really cracked me up. I think when we did the fart book episode,
that was one of the funniest episodes. Oh my god!
All the things she was going to do to Stuart, I was hiding behind my hat for that whole scene, and always had good laughs with Kiso and Nate and Mileski. Every time we did the hit scenes, it was always a good time. And our crew was also full of really funny people. Jacob Tierney, who plays Glenn on the show, mm-hmm. also directed each and every episode, and I co-wrote the series with Jared. And Jacob always had me in stitches. And our lead camera operator, Billy Buttry, who later became our director of photography, also good for some solid laughs sometimes. He became a good buddy. My wife and I were actually the witnesses for Billy's wedding to his wife at City Hall during the run of the show. So it was a really great group of people that we all got very close with. And there was a lot of laughs on that series. I remember as season one was winding down, I said to the I would often say to the cast and crew that either we're making a really, really great show or we're all just idiots because we're laughing a whole lot at this one.
You know when something's funny and it's working, so and the vibe is right, the chemistry's there.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, sometimes because what happens on set isn't always what happens on screen. It's also the credit to the editors on the show, who got their hands on it for being able to recognize what the magical parts were on the show and keeping in the right mix of things for, what we did, the shenanigans we got into, and cutting it together with what the episode was supposed to be so that the audience got a similar experience to what we were having. Because I've been on a lot of sets where we were having a ton of fun making it, but it just didn't work.
I heard the goal was to try and make the camera shake, and if you were able to make the cameraman screw up, that was the ultimate achievement.
That was sort of that was when you knew you really had something gold. It was, you know, Billy had about 30 years experience when we started, and he'd shot just about every kind of show you could shoot. So he was hard to break that bad. And I have the distinction of being the first guy to shake the camera.
Ooh, and that sort of nice. Became congrats.
That became, you know, sort of the top of the the top of the test, the strength test. If you could ring that bell, if you could shake the camera.
Yeah, new high score.
Did something really, really funny.
Do you remember what the line was?
You know, that was, oh yeah, no, clear as day. It was one of the first days of shooting. We were doing scenes in Modine's, and we were shooting a scene at the beginning of, I think, the episode where we spent the whole time in Modine's. And it was, here's a tip for you. It's really hard to get tuna out of your dick hole. And that line wasn't in the script. That was one of the first
improvised line.
Makes it so much better.
The line I had earlier in the scene was, I'm so horny that I popped a lap rocket opening a can of tuna the other day. And then that has been like the only reference to that. And then at the end of the scene, Jared and Nate had back and forth where they're like, here's a tip for you, don't do this. And here's a tip for you, don't do that. And I just blurted out, here's a tip for you. It's really hard to get tuna out of your dick hole. it shook the camera, and Jacob immediately yelled, cut. And the whole crew burst out laughing, and Nate and Kisa and Lisa all started laughing, and they were like, all right, we have to do that again. Keep that line in, okay, Trev, because you shook the camera.
Yeah, keep it.
And that was when I learned about shaking the camera. It was the first time I'd had it explained to me, and that became the measuring stick. If you could shake the camera, that was about as funny as you could get.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the behind-the-scenes stuff that everyone loves to hear about. You're from Toronto, a fine city, but the Toronto Maple Leafs. That name has always bothered me grammatically. The plural of leaf is leaves. I want to leave it alone, but I can't.
Look, we were originally the Toronto St. Pats, and then we became, because it was an entirely Irish team, and it originally started. And then there's a long Irish history of the Toronto hockey, but... And then we became the Toronto Maple Leafs. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know the history behind why they've, I guess it's because it's not a collection of leaves. It's a group. It's a group of singular leaves.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes.
It's not a collection of leaves. It's a bunch of strong individual independent leaves. Independent leaves.
we are represented by the solo leaf on the on the front of the jersey.
So this is all starting to make sense.
Yeah, no, it's an odd thing, but you know, look, it's not the weirdest name in sports.
It is not the weirdest name in sports. It is such an iconic brand.
We had Canadian Football League with two teams, and two of them were named the Rough Riders.
Two of them were both
named. And one of them changed their name and became the Red Blacks. They just named themselves after the color scheme.
The Red Blacks.
I hosted the CFL Awards, or co-hosted the CFL Awards this past fall, and I just ripped into them for their team name. Like, this sounds like you guys did a terrible Kaiser Sose at the last second. Someone asked you your name and you didn't have any ideas, and you just blurted out the first two things you saw.
Barry
Kaiser Sose.
It sounds like a racist team name, even though it's not.
It sounded like they were like, we could one up the Redskins. Yeah. They got nothing on us. If you think that's bad, we're going to really stir the pot.
Watch this.
Stop.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where, like, this isn't racist, but it feels like it should be.
Like, I can't go yell for this team in the crowd. Yeah. Like, what? paint your body.
Yeah, red and black face. Absolutely it's not going to work on the sidelines.
Cannot work.
Not around here, anyway.
No, it just does not sit well. But Toronto teams, we're called the Raptors just because Jurassic Park came out the same year we got a basketball team. Yeah. So. We could have been called the Huskies, which was the original NBA franchise in Toronto. We could have resurrected the Husky name. But nope, Jurassic Park was the number one movie at the box office.
Raptors.
Got the vote on the team name, and we became the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
And we've been carrying that with us ever since. What do dinosaurs have to do with downtown Toronto? Here we are.
I thought that's where they all lived.
There's not raptors.
You're saying there's no raptors in the streets of Toronto?
Has been found in the...
They're indigenous to the Toronto area.
Been found in Toronto.
Well, you started acting at a young age, so you had to have an interest in movies. Which three movies or three actors best represent your movie cabinet growing up?
John Candy, always number one.
Of course.
On the list. I think I was watching Uncle Buck when I put together in my like 7-year-old brain that was a job.
Yeah.
Like, how this for a living?
That's what John Candy, that's him going to work, is he gets to go and play pretend and be goofy and silly and make people laugh. And like, that has got to be the best job. I want to do that. And that was, you know, still my hero, still a guy I try to emulate and, you know, how to conduct yourself as a person. And I think fantastic talent that really only scratched the surface of how good he could have been.
For sure.
Well known for comedy, but
as a serious actor,
if you think about his performance in JFK, small part in that, but you know, was absolutely awesome in that. And the chances he got to be a little bit more serious, like Only the Lonely that he did with Ali Sheedy, you know, it was a little bit more of a dramatic turn for him. And, you know, I think he knocked that one out of the park. And I think what really made his comedy great was how well he played the serious and sweet and heartfelt moments, you know. Him as Del Griffith and... Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There's a lot of beats in that moment of real sincerity. As an actor in comedy, it's hard to go back and forth from funny to serious, and he could do it seamlessly. And, you know, I think anyone, whether dramatic or comedic actor, should, you know, study John Candy performances to see how emotion can be conveyed with a look very effectively.
Totally.
He gives you all the feels.
So that would be my number one. So many, like it's so hard to pinpoint all of the amazing talent out there. You know, I loved Monty Python was something my dad introduced me to.
Classic.
That I really shared with him. And, you know, that group there was a huge, huge influence. And Mike Myers is another guy, Toronto comedian and actor. And I mean, when I, you know, that was sort of my, you know, yeah, like everyone had their cast in SNL, which was the cast when they first discovered the show. And when I first discovered SNL, it was during the Mike Myers with Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman.
That was my favorite era. That was my favorite era.
You know, you think about the guys that came out of it, the Sandlers and the Farleys and the Spades and
Chris Rock.
You know, Wayne's World came out when I was, a preteen to a teenager. And I remember going to see Wayne's World with my buddy Dave Mohachi. And, you know, the Austin Powers series and all of those were big influences. And, you know, which, you know, harken back to the British comedy of Peter Sellers, which is another thing that my dad had me watching when I was a kid. And as I got older, you know, like Will Ferrell and Anchorman is still one of my all-time favorite movies. I think I saw Anchorman three times in the theater the first week it came out. And I just love that style of comedy where it's just, it just accepts that it's a comedy. And so, all absurdity is allowed.
Those are so quotable. Very quotable movies.
They could do whatever they want, and it was just, everybody loves movies. You know, it doesn't matter if it makes sense. Doesn't matter, because we're not here. The point, we're not trying to tell a serious story. It's not about the journey. It's about the laughs on the way. And I love that kind of absurdist comedy. Another awesome Canadian actor I grew up on, Leslie Nielsen, and the Naked Gun series.
Yes.
I have a DVD with all the original episodes of Police Squad on it.
Wow.
And that stuff is just, I'm actually one of the few people, I think, who's really excited about the remake they're doing with Liam Neeson.
Yeah, well, they're using Liam Neeson, and I can't believe they're reviving that. I think that they should have done it already, but I'm glad that they're doing it. I am excited about it, too.
We got to see
heard about
that
the other day, yeah.
He is the perfect choice to do Frank Drebin, or if they keep the character. But he's the perfect choice for that because of how serious he is.
Yeah. And that's going to be great.
That was one of the keys to Leslie Nielsen's success in that role, is he played it 100% serious.
Yeah.
The whole
that
time.
Is true.
He was a serious actor in an absurd world. And he let all the things around him be ridiculous while he himself played it totally straight. And I think about Liam Neeson in Ted 2, or his appearances on Ricky Gervais' show, Life is Short, his improv scene with Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant. He's just, that holds that, not even deadpan, it's rock hard seriousness. And that makes the comedy so much funnier, because he is unwavering in that commitment to the seriousness. And a lot of people forget, Leslie Nielsen before Airplane was 100% a dramatic actor. He had never done.
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you're saying all this.
Before Airplane. And that he was actually brought on to sort of parody himself and the roles he played in the past. And it was the Airplane that led to Police Squad, which led to Naked Gun and all the other comedies he did throughout the rest of his career. And it's sometimes a dramatic actor helps make comedy funnier.
It's true. It's funny, the like ridiculous things you get him to say while being stone-faced.
comedy, it's even going back to Commedia dell'arte, the classic Italian clown style, you need the serious high-status characters. You need people who take themselves incredibly seriously for ridiculous comedy to work sometimes.
Right. Have you watched anything good lately?
My wife and I just started Palm Royale.
That just came out with Kristen Wiig, and that looks pretty good.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig and Carol Burnett and Allison Janney and Ricky Martin. And the first episode, we kind of got like a bit of White Lotus vibes from it.
Oh, okay.
The first episode was really, really solid, and I'm looking forward to. And I mean, just when the cast is that good,
yeah.
It's hard for it to go wrong. And Laura Dern, like so many awesome people on that show. We also just decided to go back and start Curb Your Enthusiasm from the beginning.
I've been wanting to start it from the beginning too, because I've seen so many episodes. Just all, I don't even know if it follows a storyline or not.
Yeah, it's like, my wife and I, we've both seen a bunch of episodes, but we've never watched the full show.
Yeah.
And so going back to season one and rewatching it all, and even like, I remember this episode, or I've never seen this one before. But half the fun too is just remembering how long ago it actually started. How many?
It's been like 15 years.
When did it start?
Seasons. I can't remember the exact start date, but it's like, you know, everyone was still on landlines. Like,
it gives a rough estimate.
Yeah, 20 plus.
I think it started in like the late 90s almost. Like,
wow.
Okay. You know, well, that's good then to get into.
Maybe the early aughts, but the joke is that Larry's got like, you know, the GPS and it's brand new and like he doesn't know how to work it. And,
the references,
it's like
dated.
All these things, yeah. You just don't do anymore. You don't see anymore. Like Larry's on the old cordless phone talking to Richard Lewis in the episodes, and like, you know, fights that you wouldn't have. He gets in the fights because he's still watching the football game, and his wife comes in, and it's like nowadays you can just hit pause on your TV.
Yeah, you're not going to miss anything. It's fine.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, that wasn't an option back then. He couldn't just pause.
No.
Like, this is before DVR.
This is an issue.
And we also just finished Griselda on Netflix.
Oh,
yeah, I saw that a couple weeks ago.
Not at all funny, but really solid. Sofia Vergara was terrific in that.
She really
was. Yeah, she was.
Amazing cast. I feel like I've been exposed to more Spanish in that TV series than anything else in my entire
life. Like, you learned a little something after watching that series.
Including the several trips to Mexico I've had. Like,
it's kind of like Narcos. You do get a heavy dose of Espanol.
Yeah. It just sucks you right in, but you really have to watch it because it's all subtitles.
Yeah, you do have to watch it. Well, you'll be coming back to a legal state. Do you partake in the Herbal Knurble?
I do indeed. Canada, it's fully legal up here. And I campaigned for the legalization for many, many years up here. I'd go to the marches every year and sign all the petitions. And I've performed at several legalized events in my history. And,
you did your part.
Always nice to go to a state where it's allowed.
Yeah, Tyler here is in the industry here locally.
Yep, 10 years running.
It's a trip because, like, of how, you know, not legal it was for so long. And then now coming in, it's like, you know, not only is it allowed, but it starts to be encouraged. I remember when legalization happened in New York State, the first time I went to a dispensary in New York, it was the most casual dispensary I've ever been to. They were like, I was used to having to bring, like, you know, because like as a Canadian, they wouldn't accept my driver's license at most dispensaries.
Really?
I'd have to bring my passport in order to just get access.
Yep. For a different form of identity.
And so it was the first time buying pot legally in California, I'd have to bring my passport, and I was in New York, and I got all ready for, you know, at this point, I'm like, I know all the rules, brought my passport, and I walked in, and the security guard just waved at me. and they were like, you can smoke this anywhere. You can go outside and blow this into a cop's face.
Isn't that wild?
It's still weird. It's been legal here for over a decade. It's still weird.
Just to know it's an option is interesting, you know.
Well, what's your favorite way? Do you like flower, vapes, edibles, smokables, toppables?
I'm old school. I like a joint. To me, that's always the more it just feels right. But
it feels right.
There's some good solid edibles out there. I'm not going to lie; those things are sneaky. And you guys play by different rules down there than you do up here. They put a lot of restrictions on our edibles in Canada because the conservatives are still afraid that people are going to be giving weed gummies to kids. And I'm very happy to tell people no one likes your kids that much.
Yeah.
No one's going to give a kid a $25 gummy bear. Yeah. But we actually have like pretty strict caps on the strength. I think a pack of gummies caps out at 10 milligrams in Canada.
Wow.
So the first time I went to the States, I thought it was the same rules.
You can get how much?
No, those are the minimums here.
First time I bought edibles, when we were doing Letterkenny Live, our first stop was in Portland. And Bill Playfair and I hit up a dispensary, and I grabbed a couple packs of edibles. And I thought it was same rules apply. I thought, you know, same as Canada, caps out at 10, so I can eat about, I'll eat a bag and I'll be good. That's the way.
Just one bag.
That's the way I do things back home. And so a group of us were heading out to dinner. We were going to celebrate my birthday, actually. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't really drink anymore. So I know everyone else is going to be drinking. So to get myself ready for it, I'm going to eat this bag of edibles and head out to dinner. And thinking I was eating 10 grams, I ate 100 milligrams and went to dinner, and I was as high as I've ever been.
How was your dinner?
Absolutely, absolutely ridiculous, paranoid stone. Dinner was great. Dinner was awesome, but we were there so long that the waiter started circling.
circling me.
Taking up a big table, and they were hoping for the turnover. And years and years in the service industry, plus some real marijuana-induced paranoia, I started becoming very uncomfortable.
They want us out of here. We got to leave this table.
Staring at us, so I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to go. But everyone else still wanted to stay and party, so I took off and got to the streets of Portland and started walking back to the hotel. When I realized I didn't lead the way. I don't know where the hotel is.
I'm just
walking around Portland, and my weed-addled paranoid brain, weed logic, I can't pull out my phone and look up the hotel, because if I'm looking at my phone for the directions, people are going to know I'm a tourist, and that's when they mug you. So I refused to look at my phone and just started doing circles that got slowly bigger as I made them, figuring that if I just kept walking around in concentrically expanding circles, I'd eventually find the hotel. And after about a half hour to 45 minutes, I noticed everyone else on the street is on their phone. And then I remembered,
so in your head,
no one cares what you're doing.
You have to remind yourself that you're when you're on edibles. You're a 350-pound
man.
Blend right in.
So then I just pulled out my phone and realized I wasn't that far from the hotel and went home.
All because probably a waitress just asked you if you'd like some more water.
All right, I'm leaving. Stop hounding me.
The lesson here, look at the bag of gummies before you eat the whole thing.
Yes, good lesson.
Take a little look-see.
Check the dose.
At that dosage.
Well, let's get extremely personal and move on to our Fast Five, where we give you five hard-hitting questions, and you just try to answer as quickly as you can.
Okay.
All right. Which two wrestlers from any era would make for your dream matchup?
That's a good one. Let's go with Bruno Sammartino and Brock Lesnar.
Good answer. Ooh, wasn't good expecting
fight.
That.
Who wins? Who wins that?
I don't know. I mean, Brock Lesnar is a genetic freak, but Bruno Sammartino, literally wrestled a bear.
True.
Hard to tell. What's your favorite American snack?
My favorite American snack, the Chex Mix. It's got the really gross sounding name, like
Muddy Buddies.
Yeah, it's like Puppy Chow or how like
Chex Mix with the peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh yeah,
Muddy Buddies.
Puppy
yeah,
Chow.
Yeah, the grossest sounding name for food.
Hey, the grosser the sounding name, typically the better it is.
Yeah,
cup of dirt.
Chex with icing sugar stuffed with peanut butter and chocolate. Yeah. I've never seen the Muddy Buddies in Canada, but if I'm in a 7-Eleven in the States, I'm probably grabbing a pack of Muddy Buddies.
Who was your first celebrity crush?
Alyssa Milano.
We've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's the boss, for sure. You're being sold as an action figure. Which two accessories do you come with?
probably a collection of changeable t-shirts and my dogs.
What kind of dogs?
I got two. My wife and I have two Havanese, Moose and Goldie.
What kind of dog?
Havanese.
Havanese.
Havanese. From the Bichon family of dogs. They're a Cuban breed of companion dogs, little lap guys. Like, Moose is about 12 pounds and Goldie's almost 10 pounds.
Little dogs.
Tiny little suckers.
I could so picture you with those dogs.
Yeah. That would be a cool action figure. I'm buying that.
Yeah, it would be a cool action figure. All right, last one. If you were a WWE wrestler, what would your intro song be?
Whenever I do stand-up, I come out to Bobby Roode's Glorious Domination.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. But my nickname in high school was Peaches, so I might go with Peaches by the President of the United States.
Nice. Ooh, wow. Good one. Okay. I love that song, by the way.
I know.
I did a fractured fairy tale version of Cinderella when I was 13, where I played Cinderella's fat stepsister Peaches, and needless to say, that name followed me for a long, long time.
It fits. Well, we like to play a game on every episode and include our guest as well. We have something tastefully inappropriate for you and want to test your wrestling knowledge. I'm going to throw out some names, and you tell me if they were a WWE wrestler or a porn star.
Okay.
Okay. Did they wrestle in the ring or the bedroom? All right. First up, Jack Swagger.
WWE superstar.
Yeah, he got it. Were you going to get that, Biscuit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we started easy. All right. How about Axel Aces?
Porn star.
Two for two. Wow. He's really good.
I only know that because I've never heard that name before.
Yeah. See, now he's getting the context clues. He's using process of elimination.
I only know that name because he's got like a birthmark on the right side of his...
I would not be able to tell you that.
All right. Balls Mahoney.
Wrestler.
Man.
The chair swinging freak, Balls Mahoney.
We thought we were going to get him with some of the more obscure wrestlers. It's not getting him.
He knows his shit.
Okay.
He wrestled his first appearance in WWE. He was Santa Claus, the evil Santa, hired by the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Showing his work. I'm embarrassed.
His parents, Philip and Cynthia, live down in Bogota.
Best friend was right.
All right. Lucky Cannon.
WWE wrestler.
Son of a bitch. That's such a porn name. Lucky Cannon, that is like the ultimate awesome porn star name. I love
that name for sure.
Man, he's on fire.
Perfect game going so far?
Yeah, I don't like it. Okay.
Well, is this going to be our first ever?
Hold on. How about Danny Mountain?
Porn star.
Shit.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Hold on. Get deep in the list.
He's sweating over here.
Yeah. All right. How about Chad Dick?
Wrestler. He's one of the
Dick. Son of a bitch! Wow. All right.
You're not cheating over there, are you?
Yeah. You got Google up?
Trev.
One more. Shit. He's going to get it.
He's going to get it.
Is he going to do it?
He's going to do it. You can't stop him.
Lexington Steel.
Don't you be looking it up.
Porn star.
Ah, a perfect game. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
First ever.
Wow. Well, the Crunchtastic R&D department is getting a thrashing when we're done with it. They are getting a talking to. Thank you for doing that.
Well, it took me a second to think about it, to really come through the Rolodex of wrestler names in my head. A name like Lexington Steel would have rung a bell if any wrestler used it. And I was trying to remember if that was possibly one of Adam Copeland's old names, but he went by Sexton Hardcastle.
Oh, so good. How did we miss that?
Sexton Hardcastle.
Which actually sounds way more porny.
No kidding.
Absolutely. Man,
see, this game was set up for success. This would have been so hard, but you...
He's been studying.
You are impressive with your... like. We thought, we're like, oh, yeah, he's a wrestling fan. He'd get a kick
Trevor
out of this.
Nailed this one.
Wow. No, you showed your work. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for our side of it. We're better than that as a show. Well done.
You swing. I'm perfect.
I'm a wrestling aficionado. I routinely go back and watch old shows and old pay-per-views, and I've absorbed wrestling for many, many years. So I have a really solid knowledge of especially who's been in and out of the WWE. And, you know, the Attitude Era, they really tried to get very cheeky there. So that's probably where you slip a lot of people up. They were, you know, it was a real frat boy mentality. So a lot of ridiculous sounding names. But yeah, the Dick Brothers, I remember that.
You don't forget the Dick Brothers.
two guys that, I mean, that was Vince McMahon's sense of humor right there. Two guys dressed as Chippendales dancers named the Dicks.
And,
wow. Because in TNA wrestling, they had the Gemini twins literally wear like full body suits that made them look like penises. And I believe they called them called Rod and Dick. Managed by Mortimer Plumtree.
Mortimer Plumtree. Oh, see, that was set up for this game, and your knowledge and being able to absorb all of that is so impressive. And that's exactly
how he provided his own lightning round.
I know he did. And as Subway Blair is on the porn side, she remembers all of these names and has all of the history in the background.
Yeah.
The sponge over here
soaks up all of the
all the juice.
The hub stays with you.
Kay Trevor Wilson will be at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy on Thursday, March 28th through Saturday the 30th. Tickets are available at az.houseofcomedy.com. You can stay well informed on everything he's up to at ktrevorwilson.com and follow him on IG at k.trevorwilson and X at ktrevorwilson. Trev, it was a sincere pleasure, my friend. Please tell us if you need anything while you're in town. We look forward to seeing you at the show. And if you have time for a quick drink after, they're on Blair.
It's true.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me on your show. And yeah, please come out. Check me out at the House of Comedy. I'll be there with my good buddy, Nick Reynoldson, who's opening for me on this run. And always have a wonderful time in Phoenix and looking forward to being back. So thanks so much for having me, and hope to see you there.
We will be there. Thanks,
Trev.
Can't
wait to see you. Thank you so much.
Have a good rest of your weekend. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
What a guy.
What a guy. That is what we appreciates about Trev.
That's it.
Oh, that's what you appreciate about
him? Fun guy. I got some more of that game.
He had a perfect game. How do you
I don't
feel
want to
about
talk
that?
About that, Blair.
How do you feel
I do
about
not
that?
Want to
no.
talk about Trev's perfect game.
I just kind of scratched that real fast because I know Blake is just feeling it.
Double header here. Now you're pitching the second game. What do you got?
Oh, man.
But now you have Tyler to the plate. And
I can't believe he got a perfect game.
Perfect game. He took a yard.
It has happened
highly
once.
Underestimated.
It has happened once. Gina Hecht.
Yeah.
She did come on and get a perfect game.
Yep.
However, I was like really expecting him to miss one or two of them.
I wish he would have said that about the porn stars. Be like, well, actually, his name was originally this until he decided to go with this name.
Born in 1979.
His mom thought that it was a little bit.
Soccer style kicker.
Yeah. Graduated from Columbia with honors. Nicknamed the Mule. Holds two NCAA titles. One for... All right. Let's see what you're made of here. Blair. No, you're not going to get this. Hornswoggle.
Don't you look at me like that. Okay, let me think. It's just one name.
It's just
like a Madonna Hornswoggle situation.
Hornswoggle.
There's a lot going through my mind. That's a wrestler.
What do you think?
I agree.
Okay, some of them are going home. How about Dean Van Damme?
Wrestler.
Porn star.
It's a porn star.
Oh!
Are we sure it's not a wrestler as well?
We're sure.
We're sure.
Oh no.
We're sure.
Good questioning.
Oh no.
Whoa.
The tables have turned.
Who's the wrestler, Van Dam?
Brutus Beefcake.
Wrestler.
The Barber Beefcake. Wrestler.
Shit.
Brutus the Barber.
Then I'll drink.
Brutus, automatic wrestler.
Brutus, really? The Barber Beefcake. And he came
and
in
and
like,
Beefcake? That's so right. Yeah, I could see him walking out so like Brutus Beefcake.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
This is a doozy because I obviously want to say it's a porn star. But because of that, it makes me feel like it's a for sure wrestler.
So what are you going with?
Wrestler.
Yeah, it's a wrestler.
Son of a bitch.
And an actor, and he's got a cool fire tattoo.
These are easy. Will Pounder.
I need to sip on this.
Porno actor.
Tyler feels confident.
Tyler's right. Dale Savage.
Porn.
Wrestler.
He's on fire. He's starting to pick up. I think it's like a tie game right now.
It is.
Let's do. See how this goes. Big John Studd.
Oh, wrestler.
Wrestler.
God, what's wrong with you two?
Big John walking down the ramps right now.
Grandmaster Sexay.
Wrestler.
Wrestler.
Sexay is what
sold
it. I think a porn star needs Sexay.
No.
No, they don't.
Sam Shock.
Porn.
I give up.
You know?
I give up. No wonder he got it. All right, so it wasn't our best game.
Okay, so.
You know what? Some of them.
I think he had a fun time.
Well, as long as everybody had a fun time.
That's all that really matters.
Participation trophy bullshit.
Blake's still upset.
I'm going to lose some sleep tonight.
Blake!
I'm upset.
You did a great job.
It worked. It was like the perfect game because I had like a whole Canadian thing going on, and then Crunchtastic R&D department found something better. I was like, I love that.
I feel like the Crunchtastic R&D department got this game out of the back of the SI for kids. Like the last four pages of the Sports Illustrated for Kids magazine, like, and they're like, oh, yeah. Do a game.
Is that where they're getting all this crap?
I think so.
Well, we've been on a break. I mean, we've had like 6 weeks off. We meant to take like 2 weeks off, and that just turned into like 2 months off. But we're planning some big events coming up. Point I'm making is there's a lot we haven't covered. I mean, we didn't even get to talk about Drake's dick. Blair, have you had a chance to see Drake's dick?
I think I'm the only person that still hasn't seen Drake's dick.
Are you serious?
I have not seen it.
You saw it.
I did see it.
You saw it.
Was I unimpressed?
You said you were unimpressed by it.
Oh, well, I don't remember.
A forgettable dick?
Very forgettable.
Well, I want to talk about it before it goes soft.
Okay. Angles?
Was that erectional or incidental? I mean, I think he did it intentionally.
It's intentional.
The jerk-off video in the mirror? Yeah, he did that intentionally. That's not... He was, like, making faces at himself.
It was but the fact that the helicopter went public...
Like he leaked the picture?
Yes.
Well, he sent it to a bunch of people. He probably didn't have to leak it himself, but he sent it out and they leaked it.
You don't send it out Drake's dick. No, it's like,
yeah,
it's not going to stay within friends.
Slid into someone's DMs, showed him his messy. And
that dick spread like wildfire, I'm
it
sure.
It did.
Yeah.
Now everyone's seen his dick.
The virus. Spread like virus.
Did you get it? Drake's dick. Come down with the case.
Came down with the case. DD.
Doctor gets shot for my DD.
I got extra dose of DD.
Marked safe from seeing Drake's dick.
Don't worry, Brad. I'm going to be okay.
All right. Well, still a lot we got to get into. I mean, the last like headline we were talking about was Cat Williams shit. So like we need to.
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss.
There's a lot to discuss. A lot that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to join us next week. It is our 5th annual Crunchies Award Show and Presentation Ceremony. The most meaningful award show always comes last. And coming last matters only when talking about sex or awards. We'll be giving out awards for sex. Giving out sex for awards, it's going to be the biggest Crunchies yet. If you're not following us on TikTok at Something Crunchy, what's the matter with you? Get involved and find us on Facebook as well. It's the highest grade memes in the city. See those red hairs?
I see those.
Don't forget to check us out at somethingcrunchy.com, where you'll find every episode, our links for social media, and the almighty Crunch Store, where you'll find all kinds of crunchy gear showing that you are a proud citizen of Crunch Nation. This has been another episode of Something Crunchy, and as always,
don't ever forget to live your crunchiest life.
And be crunchy to one another.
Please don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, and all that crunchy good shit. All episodes can be found at somethingcrunchy.com and on all podcast platforms. Thank you for listening.
Do you call him K-Trav?
No.
No.
No. I mean, you can.
No, I keep saying that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I keep saying that. If like it was shut me down.
It's Trev or Trevor.
Or Big Trev.
It's so like K Trev. It's a silent K.
It's a silent K player.
I almost spit my beer out.
Here's a tip for you. It's really hard to get tuna out of your dick hole.